Well, good evening. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about floods and about finances and about food and about famine. And certainly about fuel, because fuel, the cost of gasoline, is having a profound impact on our economy. And as the housing market contracts, and of course the economy slips into recession, superimposed upon that is the ever-increasing cost in the price of oil and diesel and jet fuel and all of these things which are influencing so many aspects of our economy. And even Alan Greenspan has admitted it certainly looks like we're going into a recession. Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us again tonight.
Well, thank you for having me again. I'm very happy to be here. And I guess Alan Greenspan kind of missed the boat.
Right, because you've been telling us for a long time we're in recession, and Alan just found out.
Yeah, it's too bad. Well, I think the PhDs kind of get in the way.
Well, I think that Alan's a brilliant man. I think that he knew exactly what he was doing when he was doing everything he could to encourage people to take out the adjustable rate mortgages, and knowing full well that they were creating a real estate bubble. They did it intentionally. They did it purposely, just as they created a stock market bubble. So they created a housing bubble, and now it looks like they're creating a oil bubble. Who knows what's going to happen next? But we've seen the collapse of the stock market bubble and of the housing bubble, and well, maybe now we're going to see a collapse of our whole economy. Anyway, why don't you bring us up to date with what's going on? Certainly, we saw the Royal Bank of Scotland this last week said that we're moving into a major depression and economic collapse. What was that all about?
Well, it was pretty important because the Royal Bank of Scotland is one of the banks that the head of the black nobility, the Queen of England, in part owns. They own Santander and Hong Kong Shanghai Bank and...
That's the largest bank in the whole world. Does the black nobility really own that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, fine.
Absolutely. And they also own many, many major corporations. Like, there was a big steel deal done with China and Australia today. And the Australian company is Rio Tinto. And Rio Tinto is in part about 40% owned by the royal family as well.
Well, now, what happened as far as that? Did the Chinese buy into it, or what happened?
No, they just set a price that they're willing to pay for steel, which is almost double what they were paying before.
I see, okay.
And that means the cost of everything is going to go up. But your original question regarding
the Royal Bank statement,
the Royal Bank statements, they should be taken with great caution. When they say there's going to be a depression, there's going to be one.
Right.
And These are the people who plan everything.
And I think people have to understand that everything is scripted. I don't think anything's happening by accident. They know exactly what was going to happen, you know, decades ago. And it's almost as if there's a timetable, and everything's on that timetable. Do you ever have that feeling, Bob, that they're following a script?
I do now. Well, I have for the last 20 or 30 years, but prior to that, I didn't see it as clearly.
Well, I think as you get older, hopefully you get a little bit smarter. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going into the worst financial times you have ever seen. And, Chris, you're not going to hear that on CNBC or CNN. We'll be back in just a moment with our good friend Bob Chapman. Well, Bob, you go right ahead with the story.
Well, we were talking about the Royal Bank of Scotland and their prognosis for the future. And last week, not as well noticed, was a man who, his name is Paulson, who runs one of the large hedge funds, and he said that something very similar. And he manages $30 billion, so he's not a lightweight. And he's been very successful. And so the word is being given out by key companies in the scheme of things. And what they're saying is that all you other aluminists are batting down the hatches because the storm is about to begin. And so that's the tip-off to the other bad guys that the game's on. And so I would think that in the United States and in Great Britain as well as in Europe, that the central banks will continue to do the best they can by increasing money and credit in order to offset the deflationary aspect of the economy until they can't anymore. And that could happen in 6 months or in all probability 2 to 3 years. And so I expect that over that period of time, the influence of excessive money and credit will lose its impetus, and finally deflation will take over and devour everybody except those with gold.
Well, certainly it really is almost humorous, a number of articles I was reading about the relationship between the flood and the coming shortage of food. And they were saying, you know, that certainly the food has been going up at 4%, 4%, going up 4% a year, but it looks like it might go up at 6 or 7% a year this coming year because of the flood. And I'm reading that, and I'm saying, does anybody really believe that the price of food is only going up 4% a year? I mean, all you have to do is simply look at what's happening to all of the basic staples. Certainly, you know, even the price of eggs, the price of certainly of rice, of wheat, of all of these things is going up phenomenally. And they're trying to convince us that in the past it's only been a 4% food inflation and a 4% gasoline inflation. They must be going to different gas stations than I'm going to. Either that or they're intentionally lying to deceive the American people. We're going to be back with Bob Chapman here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman, simply pointing out that the black nobility. Now, what is the term black nobility? Well, it means that these are the old line royal families of Europe, the Queen of the Netherlands, the Queen of England, the King of Spain, princes of Denmark and Belgium. And you have to understand that these noble families have been around for centuries, and they all interlock, and they're involved in banking, and of course they have great wealth. I mean, the Royal Dutch Shell, why do they call it Royal Dutch Shell? Why? Because it's owned by the royal family of the Netherlands. And why? What's British Petroleum? It's partly owned by the royal family. But I was so interested that Bob was saying that the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank is largely owned by the British royal family. Then that's the largest bank in the world, and also, of course, the Royal Bank of Scotland, which just came out with a statement this last week saying that we're heading into a major economic collapse, is also owned largely by the Royal Family of England. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, these are the people who work behind the scenes with the banking interests, and of course these other evil and wicked people we talk about, they all interlock into the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, anyway, of course, with the statements coming out by key people telling us that we're heading into terrible economic times, I really believe it's true, and certainly inflation is a lot higher than they're telling us, isn't it, Bob?
It is. Now, incidentally, the royal family also control Jardine Matheson, and they're out of Hong Kong. And Jardine Matheson, and eventually, sometime later, the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, or Hang Sheng Bank as it's called, they were the ones, Jardine Matheson, was the key figure in the opium trade during the late 1700s and early 1800s between China and India. And what the British would do is hire American privateers as well as British privateers, and they would take opium and take it from India over to China, where it was, of course, banned. And then when the Chinese argued, they started to shoot them up a little bit, and the Chinese relented, and I guess they ended up hooking almost everybody in the country on drugs. But that's how great fortunes have been made among the Illuminati. The greatest amount of money that they've ever made through the last 1,000 years, each time they've done that, is through narcotics.
The British East India Company was deeply involved in that, as was the Russell family here in the United States, who actually created the Skull and Bone Society back at Yale University in about 1833. And we see their legacy.
Right, they formed the Russell Trust as
right,
well.
Right.
Which is satanic.
Well, so what else is new? That's what it really is, of course. So is the Skull and Bone Society, where they actually kneel down and worship, as they're inducted, they kneel down before Lucifer. And anybody would like to see that, incidentally, you can go to williamhkennedy.com, the website, williamhkennedy.com. You'll actually see a video of the Skull and Bones initiation. Somebody risked their life to get it. It's posted up there, but you're never going to hear about that. Two of these Luciferians ran against one another for the presidency in 2004, John Kerry and George Bush, both having knelt before Lucifer when they were inducted into Skull and Bones. You would think in a country of the size of ours, they could find somebody who was not a member of Skull and Bones to have run in 2004. But in fact, when Tim Russert asked both George Bush and John Kerry and about their membership in Skull and Bones, both men replied, "It's so secret, we can't discuss it." So secret, you can't discuss it? Where's your loyalty? I mean, you belong to a secret society? Should you really be the president of the United States? Well, anyway, let's get back on the subject here of finance. I mean, there's so many other interesting things to talk about. But certainly, we see rising price of food and of fuel. And now you say the Chinese have agreed to pay twice as much for steel? Isn't that going to
crazy? They were paying $51 a ton, and this is a guess. I wrote it today, but I don't have it in front of me. And now they're going to pay 92 or something like that.
Well, that's going to have a tremendous
impact.
It's almost
double.
It's going to have a tremendous impact on the price of cars and other things of that sort that are steel dependent.
Well, did you see GM sales are down 16%, and the new models that are coming out for an 09 are going to be 3.5% more expensive. I don't know who they expect to sell them to, but everybody else is in the same situation. So new automobile sales will fall, and they'll continue to fall for years to come.
Well, my understanding is General Motors is losing money on every car they sell in the United States, but you can't keep that up indefinitely. The only thing that's keeping them going is that the largest car producer in communist China, and not one person in a million in America knows that.
Well, on the food, I noticed from Iowa and those areas that got flooded, Archer Daniels Midland and other large firms, General Mills, they're totally shut down. I mean, all of their inventory has been destroyed by the water, and the seed corn has been destroyed as well. How much of a crop they're going to have, if any, this year remains to be seen, and next year it's going to be difficult as well.
Well, of course, there's an old saying of the corn farmers that's talking about the corn plants and knee high by the 4th of July. Well, 4th of July is almost here, and a lot of the crops aren't in. Those that are in have actually drowned and will have to be replanted. And of course, my cousin's professor of agriculture retired at the present time, but he was saying, of course, you've got to have these plants. They've got to be pretty big and pretty large, so that when the heat really comes in August, why of course that the heat won't destroy them. And he says you got these little plants there, they're 3 or 4 inches high corn plants. When the heat comes in August, it's just going to roast them. and we're going to lose a lot of the corn crop this year, and using almost 25% of it or 30% of it already for ethanol, we're looking at some real shortages of corn here in the United States and throughout the world.
Well, you're right. He's right. And I think you can also throw in there that when you have a late crop, you got to deal with frost on the other end, too.
Right.
And that, you know, it's kind of the coup de grace for the farmer. But anyway, advice, that's what we're here for. Number one, start buying things that you normally use that are made with corn, soybeans, and wheat. You know, like cereals and things like that. Dehydrated, freeze-dried foods. It's a life insurance policy. And Stan has an add-on here for that. And you should seriously consider it. It's extremely important, probably the most important thing at this juncture. And you also want to have a method of turning brackish water into drinkable water as well.
Oh, we do carry the Berkey water filters, they work real well.
And so those are very important things at this point in time. And, shortages are already starting to emanate, particularly in the freeze-dried area. And I think that probably you'll see a burst of supply in September, October, November. But after that, I think that you're going to see terrible shortages in all kinds of foodstuffs. So things that you normally use, plus dehydrated and freeze-dried foods, are a very important thing for you to have, a very important insurance policy.
I think it's very interesting. I've heard this from a couple of people that apparently the cattle of growers, I mean the ranchers, are it's getting so expensive to actually buy corn to feed the cattle that they're going to go ahead and take those cows to market, those cattle to market, and have it slaughtered now. And, of course, that means the price of meat, of beef, is going to go down. The same thing is happening with the hog farmers. The corn is so expensive they can't afford it. But, of course, then we're going to end up with shortages of both beef and hogs. And probably by the end of this year, you're going to see the price going right to the roof. But you can be sure our government will assure us there's nothing to worry about. I mean, inflation is only about 2% core and 4%. All include food and fuel, and they're simply lying to us, ladies and gentlemen. They're simply lying. Are you going to believe your lying eyes? Are you going to believe, you know, what the government tells you? And I would suggest you believe your lying eyes, because we're in for some terrible inflation, not only here but all throughout the world.
Well, that's going to be the end result, and we're seeing it already. And of course, all of this, well, a good part of this, emanates from, and that is price inflation, emanates from the Federal Reserve. We haven't seen wage inflation, but we will eventually. Even though unemployment's going to rise, people, because of inflation, will continue to demand wages so that they can eat. I mean, the wages are insufficient. And this is going on all over the world. I mean, there's been over 30 countries they've had riots in, but you don't see much about it in the U.S. media because they don't want you to know what's going on.
Well, they're having food riots all throughout the world, too, in Haiti and Egypt. And I think about 30 nations are having riots over the prices of food. And of course, they're having real problems down in Argentina. The farmers are there blockading the roads and really crippling the economy there because the government wants to export all the food to get higher prices, and the farmers are going to get the benefit of it. Well, anyway, of course, we're in difficult times, ladies and gentlemen. And once you understand that what's happening is not by accident, the Federal Reserve System is a privately owned corporation that has been violating its mandate. Its mandate was to protect our currency. And what's its goal? It's to destroy our currency, impoverish our people, and bring about a one world order, a new world religion, and of course a new world leader. Well, Bob, you picked the story up there.
We're talking about inflation already in America of 12.5%. I just saw some figures out of London, real food, real cost index, 9.8%. And I've been projecting 7% real inflation. The government over there is calling it 3.2. And so you're going to see it everywhere. You're seeing it in Asia and so on. So everybody's going to get hurt by this thing. And eventually what's going to happen, too, is that you're going to see a collapse in the system. And when you see that, you know that all bets are off. It's going to be very, very difficult because you'll have unemployment probably running somewhere about, eventually, 2 to 3 years down the line, 25 to 30%. It's 14 right now, if you count everybody. There's three different methods of establishing unemployment, U3, U6, and then the current unemployment, which they use, which is 5.5. And but if you put them all together, you'll come up with about 14%. And even the government agrees with me on that. And so every government's going to be facing the same problems. And eventually people who are using money in business won't need as much. And speculators will be afraid to speculate because the only thing left to speculate in at the height and at the late times of inflation will be gold and silver. And essentially the only game in town. And so what happens after that is deflation. And when that comes, you just want to be in gold, silver, in gold coin, and that's it. Because that's really the only thing that's the best protection. And, you know, I see a lot of advisors saying, well, the market's cheap, buy. No, they're wrong. The market's not cheap. The company's earnings are going lower. We're headed for more troubles. You know, don't let anybody talk you out of your gold and silver-related assets for something else. It's the biggest bull market in history. And you're lucky you know about it so you can participate. You know, don't go and sell out to go in the stock market or into commodities or enter the Forex accounts and things like that. I mean, why invite problems in something you really don't understand anyway? And, you know, the experts make mistakes as well. So why do anything else when you can go into a market where you know it's a long-term bull market, and so you ride with it. You go long and you stay long. You're going to make mistakes. Some of the coins and shares that you buy aren't going to work out, and you have to be prepared for that. But you don't have much choice because there's not going to be, eventually, any place else to go. And so if you've got them, hold them. If you don't own them and you can afford to buy gold and silver-related assets, you want to do so.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman right here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, Bob Chapman for the International Forecaster. If you have a question for Bob, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you have a question on anything having to do with finance, but certainly as you stop and think about the implications of this flood and how it's really wiped out the corn crop, a large part of the corn crop, a large part of the certainly of the soybean crop here in the United States. And now basically somebody want me to ask you to name the best gold and silver investments. What would be the best gold and silver investments you could make today?
Well, I think the best all-around stock is Agnico Eagle. I mean, they have gold, silver, lead, and zinc, and lead and zinc have hit newer highs just like gold and silver have recently. you know, in at least in the last 25 years. So I think that one says it all. I get very good management. I've been familiar with the company since 1966. Of course, they've had management changes in between. I know the people who run the company, the good people, and they continue to add good people. They have good properties, and I think they'll continue to be successful. Their stock, I think, has outperformed all of the other upper-tier producers. If it hasn't, it's been one, two, or three in the pecking order, so to speak. And so I think that's probably the number one choice. And if we didn't have the naked shorting and shorting that's going on, generated by the United States government, people working with them, I think that stock and many other producing companies' shares would be higher. And that's especially true of the middle tier, or I should say the lower tier junior producers. And I think that they are really getting shorted, because I think the good ones, many of the larger companies, have been shorting them because I think they want to buy them more cheaply. And our government won't do anything about it. Some people have come up with some ideas. But, you know, you've got to have the cooperation of the mining community. And with the exception of Barrick Gold, which is on the other side, they're an Illuminati company. With the exception of them, the rest of the management in the mining companies are scared to death of the Illuminati. They just won't say anything. They won't do anything. And so, you know, we've got to do it for them, or do it, you know, so that, you know, these things that are going on, which are illegal, are stopped. Our government stands by. The SEC stands by. They know what's going on. But our government tells them, no, you don't do anything about it, because, you know, we want those prices down. Well, sooner or later, that's going to end. And when it does, they'll all explode upward in price.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now what about possession, purchase of gold and silver coins? Don't you think that's probably better than the paper assets?
It all depends on the person. You know, I get hundreds of emails, and some people just want coins or just should have coins. Other people want both and should have both. And then there are those people who don't want to do anything but be in the most speculative area. So it all depends on what's suitable for the individual. I mean, I try, when I tell people to buy gold and silver shares, I tell them to buy three or four of them and put, you know, 80%, 90% of the emphasis on quality issues. And then a little bit on speculation. And if speculation works, then you can take some of that money and go speculate again with something else. But, you know, everybody is different. There are people who should not own stocks at all. There are people who should not own coins and gold bullion as well. And that's just the way it is.
Now, of course, you seem to be very much against the exchange-traded funds for both gold and silver.
And, yeah, I believe that SLV, the Silver Trust, is aiding and abetting the U.S. government in suppressing silver prices. It's extremely difficult in some areas of the world to get any silver whatsoever.
In other words, there's a real shortage, and yet the price isn't going up. So what you're suggesting is that...
It's shorting and naked shorting.
Right.
And it's being done by the U.S. government through other entities. And it's wrong. It's illegal, incidentally.
Well, hold that thought.
And I think the same thing is going on with GLD, which is the gold ETF.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, Bob. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is this evening, of course, Bob Chapman for the first hour. In the second hour, we're going to have Ron Brown on with us. But right now, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Roger, do you have a question dealing with the subject tonight? Oh, well, let's see. There we are. Hi, Roger. Do you have a question dealing with the subject tonight?
Yeah, if I was on the oil prices, if that's okay.
Well, that's okay. Go ahead, ask.
Yeah, and I'd like to ask Bob, now Joel Skousen was on here just a couple of days ago quoting an article by Wayne Engel that on the fact that almost 60% of today's $140 a barrel price on oil is coming from unregulated futures speculation by the hedge funds, banks, and financial groups using the London futures market and New York NYMEX futures exchange. And a certain over-the-counter trading as a means to avoid scrutiny. And then another, on local talk radio, another know-nothing like myself suggested that he thought perhaps the oil companies themselves were entering the speculative market.
All right, well, let's get Bob's thoughts on that. What do you think about the idea that it's really the speculators that are largely responsible for running up the price of oil at the present time?
Well, as you know, I've written a fair amount about this in the International Forecaster. What has been said by the gentleman is essentially true in regard to the unregulated shorting. But the figure is not 60%. The figure is about 30% because normal shorting, normal speculation is about 30%. And you have to have speculation in markets so people will speculate and buy contracts. Mr. Farmer is very happy to get $6.50 a bushel for his corn. And Mr. Speculator thinks that it'll probably go to $7 or $7.50 or $8 a bushel. So Mr. Speculator is very willing to buy his contract. And so that's very important. You know, you don't damn all the speculators because of the greedy banks, which are being fed money by the Federal Reserve, which they own, and they're the ones that are driving it up. But it's not, the 60% includes 30% normal speculation, 30% excessive speculation, and that excessive 30% is what's causing the problems. They're right about the other facts. But it's not 60 that's coming from the banks and the hedge funds. It's 30%.
All right, fine. But do you think that they're largely responsible then for driving the prices up to rather ridiculous levels?
Well, they're responsible for ridiculous levels. And there's no question about that. Sir?
Okay, right now we're going to have to actually ask Bob if he will give out his telephone number, his email address, his web space. So in case our listeners would like to get a copy of the International Forecaster, why they can even perhaps want to subscribe to it. I take the Forecaster. I look forward to it twice a week. It is a wealth of information there that gives you an overview of everything going on in the world. It's quite a unique publication, and I look forward to getting it every Wednesday and every Saturday. Bob, why don't you put in a plug for your publication?
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish by email, as you said, on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Runs around 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well for those who are not on the Internet. And if you'd like to get a free introductory copy, one of the ways you can do that is by going to our site that addresses theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to email us with a question, and we answer everybody, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188, 375-4188. And we'll send you a free copy either by mail or by email.
All right, fine. Thank you very much, Bob. Roger, is there anything else you wanted to ask?
Yeah, if you please. Now, I realize we haven't been in a sort of a conventional investment environment for the last couple of years or more, but the conventional wisdom on speculation has it that it doesn't, that is the Austrian school, has it that speculation does not in fact drive up prices per se so much as it gives stability in the short and long term to prices, smooth out the ripple somewhat.
Well, Roger, it would work if we were in a normal market, but we're not in a normal market.
Yeah,
we have speculators there who are working to raise the prices. Okay, go right ahead. Let's go to Rick calling from Texas.
I wanted to know what Bob thinks about Jim Sinclair's new group. He's getting together. He put out a call to all the juniors to get together and start doing some footwork, some detective work, and find out who the anonymous is putting the anonymous shorts on the market.
You're talking about gold and silver market?
Yeah, especially silver.
Okay. Do you know anything at all about
that? Well, you know, he's talking mostly about stocks.
Go ahead.
He's talking mostly about stocks. And Jim Sinclair is correct about the juniors as well as the large producers. I just mentioned that. And I think it's a good idea. I think that when evolving stocks get up into the $3, $4, $5, $6 area, they attract a lot of shorting and naked shorting. But I don't believe in the exploration stocks at the lower levels, particularly under $1.50. You don't see much shorting. And, you know, you can pretty well tell what's going on, particularly if they trade in Canada. But as I said earlier, it's not only the shorts and the naked shorts promulgated by our government, it's also major producers such as Barrick who are in the market trying to soften prices in a good junior so they can buy them cheaper because their exploration has not been as good as they'd like it to be, and they're not spending enough money on exploration. So they have to go out and buy products so that they can keep their companies going at full tilt, so to speak. And so it's a good idea.
Yeah, well, they knocked it down earlier this week, and they knocked down out half the longs for July.
Are you speaking now of the gold and silver stocks, or are you speaking about gold and silver as such?
Futures.
Gold and silver futures, okay.
Yeah, well, what they've done essentially is drive the specs out of the market. And, you know, that's what happened on that drop on Monday. And, you know, they know the market, and they know where the specs are at. You know, the specs, I don't understand them. If you're going to go long, it's okay. But buy puts so that you don't have to blow your position out. So that, if you're long plus, you've got the puts, they knock gold down $20. You make money on your puts to cover the long loss until the long side explodes. And that's what these specs are not doing, and that's why they keep on getting caught. And we talk about a lot about it in the International Forecaster. And we also cover the yen carry trade and other things that most publications don't cover. The very sophisticated parts of the market. We make it simple so people can understand really what it's about in a few lines. You know, one on one makes two. It's that simple.
Okay, fine. Anything else, Rick?
It's hard for me to believe that these guys get away with what they get away with.
Unless when you own the
government. Well, you know, I want to tell you something. You're absolutely right. And it's because the CFTC and the SEC are in the back pocket of the politicians who are controlled by the people from behind the scenes. They do not work for the American people. They work for the insiders, the elitists, the Illuminati. And that's why nothing's done about it. The crime that goes on every day. I was 28 years in that business. And Jim Sinclair was probably in it for maybe 30. And we know We know what goes on, and you're absolutely right. There's no protection for the American people.
Then they've got two guys running that one of them's probably going to, if one of them wins, we'll probably get nuked. If the other one wins, we'll be another communist third world nation. I mean, our goose is cooked as I see it. I mean, unless God intervenes and somehow we can wrest control from these thieves.
Well, that's it, Rick. That's what we have to pray for. We have to pray for God's intervention. We work as if it were up to us and pray as if it were up to God. And thanks very much. I share your concern, but it's a spiritual battle. We're called to do our best. We're not called to win. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
God bless. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Bob Chapman. I understand Rick's concern. Sometimes it seems hopeless, but I've been at it for 45 years, 46 years now. And I can tell you I'm more optimistic now than I've ever been because people out across America, some of them are beginning to wake up. And believe me, as things get a lot worse, a lot more are going to wake up. And we've got to be there with the information and explain to them how we got into the mess we're in today. Well, certainly, Bob, as we certainly see this whole incredible story unfolding, and we see, of course, the Federal Reserve System, as you point out so well in your publication, if they raise the interest rates, they destroy the economy. If they lower the interest rates, they destroy the dollar. What are they going to do?
They're in a box. They can't get out. It's pretty simple. It's just, you know, they've made a lot of mistakes, and this is a monumental one. And they've done this before. And they're going to go through the same tragedy that what they went in through in 1348 with the crash of the Lombard system, and in the early 1600s, the collapse of the Hanseatic League. These are classics in finance. Flat classics, that classic events that changed the world. And they're going through that same thing again. Everything is not going their way. When Zbigniew Brzezinski comes out and says, this administration of Washington has put our dream for a new, for one world government back 30 years, and then he comes out and says they put it back 50 years. And incidentally, when he first said it was 20 years, this is all in the space of 2 years. So things are not going well for these people, and as you said, we should have hope, because we are going to defeat them. And our mission is to inform people. This is like a class. These are lessons on what really is going on in the world.
Well, I think that this is why we do what we do 5 hours every day, trying to educate people not only about the basis of finance and health and certainly what's happening in education, but about the spiritual forces that energize these people and how this all fits into Lucifer's plan. Lucifer is not an abstract idea. He is the god that's literally millions of people in this world worship today. And then, of course, I believe that our God has his own plan, and it's exciting as we see this coming to pass. Can we influence it? Possibly. We know that certainly Jonah was able to influence things for a time, for 60 years in Assyria. After, of course, the people there repented. Will the people of America repent? Well, I don't see much sign of it today. Well, anyway, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly, what about the M3? Where do we stand on the M3 that the government just can't bother to publish because it's too expensive to publish? And the truth of the matter is, they don't want to publish it because they do not want the American people to know what they're doing with money and credit, which is what M3 represents. So they've published it for years. Now suddenly it's just too complicated. It has nothing to do with being complicated. They want to conceal because these people have to work in the darkness. Now, what really is going on there?
Well, it's probably around 17%, maybe as high as 18%. And that's an average of 3 or 4 experts on the subject. And so that means we're going to have 15% inflation by the time the year is out, and it'll really start showing up next month. And so for the last 6 months of the year, inflation is going to roar. The following year, it'll roar. The only break in that I saw is that the European Central Bank has dropped their increase in money and credit from 12.6% to 11.6%. And the Bank of England's come down from 14.2 to 10%. Now, I don't know whether that's a temporary thing. It's been happening over the last 4 to 6 months. And it could be temporary. It could be longer term. And so if they continue to drop that, then inflation, and they keep their interest rates unchanged in Europe, then inflation will probably come down in Europe. That's not what's happening in America. They're full throttle, and they figure this is the only way we can go because we've got to make the game last as long as possible because there won't be any game after that.
Well, let's go to Jeff, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Jeff. Are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Stan.
I have a question or comment for our guest.
Yes, for Mr. Chapman. It's good to hear your voice again. I have some precious metals IRAs, Roth IRAs, to safeguard some of my money, maybe about one-third of it. And the other two-thirds is just the traditional Vanguard conservative IRA sort of accounts. I wanted to take that out and put it into a money market account just to protect against what we just heard about with the Royal Bank of Scotland predicting. Would it be advisable or safe to put it in, like, I-bonds or something like that? I mean, is that a protected and safe place to put it?
Well, it all depends on your options. If you're self-directed plans, then you can choose what you do. But usually they're not self-directed. You have to choose from what's offered you within that spectrum. And
These are all self-directed. We've been self-employed.
Well, if it's all self-directed, you should be out of everything except precious metal stocks and some oil stocks. Everything else should be in Swiss franc government bonds.
How about being an Agnico Eagle or one of those types of stock?
Well, yes, but I assume from the way he's spoken that he probably has some of those already.
Do you have any gold stocks at all, Jeff?
Yes. No, not gold stocks. I've got about 120 ounces of gold,
actual gold coins. That's good, right.
Take some of that money and split it up for openers. Start with 20% in the gold and silver shares and 80% in Swiss franc government bonds. And as the market moves up, liberate more and more of the Swiss franc government bond money, which you can do in a second, and continue to build your position as your profits increase in the gold silver venue. But that's very important to make that switch at this time. If you want more help, just email me and I'll help you with it. Particularly, I don't have any way that I make anybody money with anybody else other than just people who subscribe to the publication. So anybody that I recommend or anything that I recommend, I have no financial interest in it. But I can help you because
I have to just throw this out. We know we're going to run out of time and other people want to call. But I've listened to you for a while, Mr. Chapman, and I'm just going to subscribe to your paper because the information you're giving out is too hard to hear on the radio and try to grasp it all as I'm driving in between where I am from Yakima to Spokane right now. And I will email you because I want to protect the rest of that money. I don't want to see it disappear overnight.
Well, Jeff, I think most of our citizens are going to lose everything they spent their whole life working for. You've got to have inflation insurance, and that's really what it's all about. And they are out to destroy the value of our currency, and if you don't protect yourself, why, you're going to be like all the rest of them. Hopefully many of our listeners, of course, will survive, and that's what it's all about. If we can help them to survive and point them in the right direction. But there is no better way to destroy an economy than to debauch the currency, and not one person in a million will recognize what's happening. Paper money is one of the greatest frauds of all time. It's been used time and again down through the centuries to cheat the working class.
Okay. You know, I have to say, and then I'll hang up, I'm a professional, I'm a physical therapist, and most of the people I work with, the nurses, the therapists, they have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Well,
I share this all the time. They have no idea.
Well, you better get them listening to Radio Liberty. Tell them to listen to this crazy guy, this crazy old doctor. And who knows, maybe we'll convince them. If you don't get discouraged, you can't reach them. I just try to get them to think and ask them leading questions. Do you really think that inflation is just 2% core and 4% including fuel? I mean, do you honestly believe it? Because that's what the government says. And either they're telling the truth or of course, your eyes are lying to you when you go to the store.
Yeah.
The service
agent. I 100% believe you, Dr. Stan. It's not 2%. It's 20% or worse.
We're in real trouble. Anyway, God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest has been Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. And Bob, once again, get your email out or your website.
Well, the website is theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. Email is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. International_forecaster.
Well, that's right there. Well, Bob, once you get out your telephone number, and then you got about 2.5 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, and the telephone is 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188, and we'll send you a copy, either a hard copy or an email. And I encourage people who do get an introductory copy or who are subscribers, pass them on so other people can see them. If they reject it, that's okay. You're only going to influence 1 out of 100. So take a shot at it. That's what the publication's for.
All right, fine. So basically, I think it's so vitally important that people begin to understand that there's no instance in all history where a nation has gone into a fiat money system and that nation has survived. Well, the whole world is on a fiat money system today. And believe me, what's happening throughout the world as far as inflation, the destruction of the value of the currency is amazing. What's the inflation rate over in Russia today? Do you have any idea, Bob?
The inflation rate today in America?
No, in Russia.
Well, they're planning on 15% this year, but it's higher than that. My guess is probably 20.
Okay, so.
But, you know, that's not an unhealthy thing because their economy is booming. They got oodles of money pouring in from oil and gas and other kinds of natural resources, and they're starting to be exporters of big surplus they had with China recently. And things are going very well for Russia, so that's okay. It's when you have a sick economy like America has, and you've got the inflation, that's a real problem.
Well, now, somebody called and wanted to know why you recommend Swiss bonds, because the Swiss franc is not backed by gold, and certainly it's inflating as well, isn't it?
Right, it is, but it's the best of a bad lot, and there's some people who want to be liquid. Some people buy U.S. Treasuries. I don't prefer that. You know, like I just said to the gentleman, start off with 20% in gold and silver. If it's working for you and you start making money, then pull some money out of those Swiss franc government bonds and buy some more stocks as the market goes up. And then, hopefully, the gold and silver don't correct from these levels, but were they too when you had 20% of your money in there, and let's say gold dropped back to 850 again, and the shares and coins went down, say, another 10%, well, then you could buy some more.
Okay, fine. Well, we're out of time. Our guest this evening has been Bob Chapman. Of course, what he's saying is the Swiss franc is a better fiat currency than the others, and he's probably absolutely right. Good night, Bob. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bob. If you'd like to really understand finances, let me suggest my talk. It's called The Financial Tsunami, and of course you can get that with a syllabus, which we recommend. We have a little pamphlet. It's called The History of Money, Another one that's called the financial meltdown, which tells you how they engineered this whole problem we have today. And believe me, it was engineered. Alan Greenspan knew exactly what he was doing. The only question is, why did he want to do that? And then, of course, we have the book entitled The Creature from Jekyll Island, which we certainly think is an excellent, excellent book. And we do hope that many of you out there will get it and read it. It's written by our good friend Ed Griffin. And then, of course, we have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because the Federal Reserve System is a conspiracy. It was organized by central bankers for central bankers to enrich the central bankers and their associates and not to protect our currency, because if they were supposed to protect our currency, they've done a terrible job. If they were supposed to enrich the bankers, they did an amazingly good job. And we see that right today when, of course, they should be doing everything they can to protect the dollar, raising the interest rates, and instead of that, they've lowered the interest rates to save their banking friends and their banking buddies. But, of course, it's going to have a profound impact on the value of the life savings and the insurance policies and the pensions of all of our people. Well, let me simply point out that we do carry one other book. It's called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and then another one, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. So we recommend people, of course, get my talk on the financial tsunami with the syllabus, the pamphlet, The History of Money, and followed by The Financial Meltdown, and then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, the book, in the fiat money inflation in France. You have to understand what's going on, and then you have to begin looking at the spiritual forces which are really directing the course of the world, and that gets to my book or DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness. That's The Brotherhood of Darkness. My talk on the forbidden secret, because there really is a secret. It's been out there for 5,000 years. It's only been really popularized recently by Oprah Winfrey and Larry King. Before that, people were afraid. They were frankly afraid to reveal the secret. And, of course, it was passed down through the generations, through the secret societies. It was the text of the beliefs of the people in the mystery religions. It was taught by Plato and Machiavelli. It was taught by Aristotle. It has been taught by Leo Strauss, the University of Chicago, in the mid-years of the last century. The information is there. You need to have it. You need to be able to put it together. You need to understand what this is about. The forbidden secret comes with a syllabus, and where we actually, of course, give you the complete text of some of the President Bush's inauguration speech in 2001 and again in 2005. Have you ever wondered who the angel is who rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm? George Bush talked about that angel on two occasions in his first inaugural address, and not one American in 1,000 has ever heard of the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm. And we, of course, give you the information, the syllabus. We give you the information, the talk. You need to understand not only what's happening, but the spiritual implications of what's happening. And then, of course, if you've never yet seen the DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, or Riddles in Stone, both excellent professional productions on what's going on today by our friend Chris Pinto. And then, of course, we do have certainly the DVDs, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll is certainly one of the most really revealing DVDs we have. We recommend it to you without reservation. I've never talked to anybody who's ever seen it who didn't tell me this changed their lives. So that's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here once again at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ron Brown, who, of course, supports Radio Liberty, helps us, and, of course, he is in the gold and silver exchange business, and certainly a man we've known and worked with in the past, and we always enjoy having him on. Ron Brown, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, Dr. Stan. Nice to be on with you again.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what your take is on what's going on here. Certainly, the market doesn't look too good, although it just goes up. It goes down 150, 200 points, and then suddenly it ends up the day right back where it started. I just don't understand how the market would really work like that unless somebody was manipulating the market because they're afraid to have it collapse because they know that, of course, it would cause people to begin to panic, and I don't think they want the American people to panic, at least not yet.
I think there's very little question among people who study the markets nowadays who don't believe that the market is being manipulated to keep it propped up. What I find real interesting this last week or so is statements that's coming out of major central banks or major multinational banks and warning of potential catastrophe is one of them said. Morgan Stanley, I'm just reading the title of an article. Morgan Stanley warns of catastrophic event as the European Central Bank fights the Federal Reserve. Then it came out, the Bank of International Settlements came out with a statement. I'm just trying to read here, that has warned that the credit crisis could lead world economies into a crash on a scale not seen since the 1930s. And then the Bank of International Settlements also came out with notifying us that the derivatives that you and I have talked about for so many years is now up to, according to the Bank of International Settlements, up to 1.14 quadrillion, which is in excess of $1,000 trillion. Then, of course, the Bank of the Royal Bank of Scotland warned its clients to brace for a full-fledged crash in global stock and credit markets over the next 3 months as inflation paralyzes the major central banks. So you look at all these statements and you start wondering, I said, it's these very banks that have usually been trying to cover up and prop up everything and tried to hide the real danger. So you got to wonder what their motivation is now. Are they really trying to prepare us for a major crash? I'm not sure, but I find it very interesting, the statements that are coming out at this point.
Well, you know, I really believe that everything points in the direction that there's got to be a major crash, and I think maybe they're just sort of letting the insiders know what's really coming down the line. Certainly everything as far as the collapse of the derivative market, and for the people out there who don't understand derivatives, you're not supposed to. Basically, it's a bet on a bet on a bet. It's basically the people who are guaranteeing that the people who are buying bonds, certainly are going to be able to get the interest rates that's guaranteed to them. And so you have an insurance company that's set up that's going to guarantee those bonds, and you pay a certain amount of money, you get that guarantee in the insurance policy. But what happens if you take out insurance from a company that doesn't have any money? And, of course, when enough people die, life insurance, why the company goes belly up? Or fire insurance, there's too many fires, and the company goes belly up. Well, you're talking about companies with a few billion dollars that have derivatives on trillions of dollars out there. And there's no way they're going to be able to pay them off. And believe me, when those companies go down, then the bonds become useless. So, Rhonda, are you concerned about the bond market, about the fact that more and more of the companies that have been issuing bonds are not going to be able to make their regular payments on them? And, in fact, some of them down the line are going to have to default on their bonds. And this is going to happen as far as municipalities are concerned down the line. We've seen, a couple of municipalities on the brink of bankruptcy. One apparently has gone into bankruptcy. But, of course, more and more municipalities and school boards and fire boards whatever they are that have issued bonds, if they don't make payments on them, what's going to happen to the people who purchase the bonds?
Well, as you know, Dr. Stan, one of the few articles that I have written, the last one I wrote in November, was talking exactly about that. In fact, the title was The Bond Market, Is It an Inflation Vigilante or Not? And if you go back and study the bond market for the last 20 years, it has not performed as it normally should. Because the bond market normally, when they say it's a vigilante of inflation, what they mean by that is that if inflation is rising rapidly, bond investors are not going to continue to buy bonds paying 5% once they understand inflation or the dollar is being devalued at the rate of 10%. So typically speaking, the bond market would force interest rates higher, which in turn would slow the economy down and stop the inflation. But if you look back the last 20 years, that obviously has not happened. And what I was suggesting in my article in November is that they have put off the day of reckoning through some fancy schemes, but ultimately the laws of economic are going to work, and that's what I'm starting to see now. The bond market is starting to show weakness. Of course, the Treasury can always just print money to pay off their bonds. Of course, what will they buy when they pay them off? But when you get down to the municipalities, to the states, to the corporations who are having more and more trouble making profits, are they going to continue to be able to pay off their bonds or the interest on their bonds? And I think you're going to see a lot of defaults in that arena over the coming years. And, of course, that's just going to feed the fear that's growing among the populace about can they trust paper money and paper investments.
And, of course, we're finding more and more people certainly do not have the money to make their payments on their houses. They don't have the money to make the payments on their cars. They don't have the money to make the payments on their credit cards. And, of course, more and more of these are going to default. This is the problem that we're facing today. And, of course, there's really no way out of it until we've suddenly done away with this massive amount of money that's out there, money and credit, that nothing behind it. And so the only solution, of course, is going to be to have the whole system collapse and start all over again. And I think that's exactly what they're planning. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, and certainly one of our favorite guests, and I'm sure yours as well, is Ron Brown. And he was just talking about how the bond market is really the vigilante of the economic system. And of course, if you get in touch with Bob, with Ron, of course, he's got a treatise on that subject. In fact, Ron, we do have your DVD that the talk you gave, which I think is excellent. I'm going to mail you a copy of it, and if you agree, we'd like to offer it, and of course we hope that maybe you'd want to just go ahead and offer it yourself to your customers. You're welcome to duplicate it, but first of all, we want you to look at it. I think you did a good job, and you really came through, and you put this point over. People don't understand bonds. They don't understand the economy. Everything in our economy is built upon trust, and people borrow money. They're supposed to pay it back. That's the honorable thing to do. Corporations borrow money. Why they're expected to pay it back? And ordinarily they do, even the junk bonds. Corporations issue junk bonds, but of course they get paid back. But what happens if there's no profits and they can't pay them back? What happens if these corporations go bankrupt? What happens if municipalities or library boards or school boards or these people that are borrowing, these countless billions of dollars? California just borrowed $40 billion last year, and they want to borrow another $40 billion this year, but now, of course, they're having a real problem with, making the payments on those bonds. That's one of the reasons why, of course, the budget, Arnold became the governor of the state of California, our budget was about, I think, 90%. $90 to $94 billion a year. Today it's $140 billion a year. In just 6 years Arnold's been there, it's almost gone up 50%. So good, glad we got rid of that terrible Gray Davis and we got a responsible conservative. But a lot of that, of course, is interest payment on the $40 billion we borrowed and the other money that we borrowed. The trouble is that when you borrow money, you got to pay it back. And I'm really worried that a lot of states and municipalities and school districts down the line are not going to have the money to make their payments. And once people begin to lose confidence in the financial system, then the whole system begins to crumble. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
Well, the first thing that we need to remember is that the bond market is the foundation for everything we call money. We don't have real money in today's world. We have money that was created out of debt. And that was the bond market that was created. So everything is a derivative of that. It comes off of that. So if the bond market craters, which is your foundation, if the foundation of your house craters, then the whole house comes down. And that's what's scary. And I think that's why they have so desperately tried to keep interest rates low over the last 10, 15 years. Because once interest rates rise, then it starts to, one, make all that debt that's owed out there be paid at higher interest rates, and it slows down the economy so people don't have the money to pay it off. So the whole thing starts to implode on itself, and I think that's what you're seeing now. I would imagine every municipality in this country is losing their tax base because one real estate has about collapsed. It's going down in basically every community in the country, so the tax receipts that the municipalities and the states were getting from all of that business is dropping like a rock. People are losing their jobs. Companies are laying off. And so the taxes, you know, state income taxes and gross receipts taxes being paid on purchases are dropping. And yet when the economy goes into a recession, that's when the government is called on to spend more and more money for the welfare state. So you're seeing the expenses or government spending rise while the tax base implodes, and that's why foreigners are getting sick and tired of trying to loan us $3 billion a day to keep funding our folly. And I think it's forcing the Fed to just simply step in and monetize that debt, which means just the Federal Reserve System buys up these unwanted bonds that are trying to be dumped into the market, and they just do that with money out of thin air, and that's what's called inflation.
All right, fine. Of course, we've got a real problem here, Sydney. Our companies, many of them are still producing, but we're exporting our goods, but we're importing far more than we're exporting. I mean, our international trade deficit, you're talking about, you know, $600 billion a year, $650 billion a year, and you can't keep running up your debt every year. One of these days, other countries are going to say, we don't want your dollars anymore. In fact, already Iran and Venezuela are talking about simply cutting their peg to the American dollar. We find out that many of the oil-producing countries are thinking of cutting the peg to the American dollar, and when the American dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, you hang on to your wallet because there's not going to be much left at that point. We're going to see a wave of inflation that will dwarf anything that's occurred in our country during my lifetime. What about that? Do you think that increasingly people are beginning to get to the point where they, in other countries, where they really don't want American dollars?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. We've heard different experiences. I had one particular experience that is a small experience, but I think it says a lot. My daughter-in-law has a neighbor who is a purchasing agent for a ballet company, and they order their shoes and their tutus or whatever from this company out of Brazil. And around the first of the year, and they've been ordering for these people for years, they called to place a reorder, and they informed them that we no longer accept dollars in payment. Well, you know, Brazil used to have the worst currency in the world, or one of the worst in the world, and the U.S. dollar used to be a currency that you could go into any place in Nimbuktu, Africa, or wherever, and the people would accept the dollar readily, and now you're starting to see stories all over the world where different companies, different banks, or different whatevers are not wanting to take dollars anymore. So it's just the beginning of the doing away with the dollar as the world's, the repudiation of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And when that happens, as you say, if we need partners to finance $3 billion of our debt every day and we're no longer the world's reserve currency, now they no longer have any reason to want to keep buying our dollars that are just going down in value.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But let me just read briefly something that Daniel Webster had written. And remember, he lived from 1782 until 1852, so he was writing this about the time of Andrew Jackson and perhaps after Jackson's presidency. But he said, of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. And most Americans, especially the younger ones, have no idea what it was like before we took away the gold and silver backing of our currency. I can remember silver-backed currency, and that's all been done away with. But of course, it was Alan Greenspan who said, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirade against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. And ladies and gentlemen, your wealth is being confiscated at an increasing rate, and you don't even understand that inflation simply destroys the value of everything you've worked for your entire life. And here in California, where I live, why, homes which were holding up pretty well last year have gone down, from, I think it was $660,000 for the average home. It's down to about $500,000 for the average home, something like that. A considerable drop in the average cost of a home in Santa Cruz County, where I live, where we have still a fairly good economy, but more and more people, of course, are really finding that they can't sell unless they drop the price. And I think that we're going to see this all across America. In fact, we're seeing it across America today as housing prices are dropping 25% a year. And, of course, this is going to have a disastrous effect on the banking system, which many of these homes are actually being sold in foreclosure at a loss for the banking system, and all that money that they thought they had simply is gone with the wind. Are you seeing the same thing in your area, Ron?
To a certain degree, of course, we never had the wild explosion to the upside that you had out there in California. But you know what's interesting? 2, 3, 4 years ago, every time you would turn over the TV set, you would see some paid infomercial where they're showing you how to make a fortune in real estate. Now you're seeing the same some similar type infomercial saying, come see us on how to walk away from your mortgage that's worth, more than what your house is worth. So it's kind of a 180-degree turn, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, of course, the housing bubble has burst. The stock market bubble has burst. I'm sure that one day the oil bubble is going to burst, but in the meantime, there's going to be terrible suffering for as far as our people is concerned. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have any questions at all for Ron Brown. Ron, are people, of course, are still regularly buying gold and silver? People sitting on the sidelines, certainly gold and silver have been down for a couple of months now, going back to, about February, I think it was, when things were going pretty well, March, April, May. It's almost at least 3 to 4 months that things have been in the doldrum. What do you take on what's happening in the gold and silver markets?
It just comes, my business comes in ebbs and flows. January was good, February was great, March was the biggest month I've ever had in 30 years in the business, and of course they busted the market by what, silver market by $5 in 2 or 3 days. They took that gold from, $1,033 down to under $900.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Ron Brown. Welcome your calls. Go right ahead, Brown. Go right ahead.
What was interesting, I'd like to make one point before I forget it, and that is on March 17th, while the market, the silver market was dropping like $4 to $5 in a matter of 2 or 3 days, one would think that if there was a major problem in the market and that much selling, that every coin dealer in the country would be flooded with sell orders, people panicking out of their silver. In reality, just the opposite happened, and I'm not exaggerating one bit. Basically, every coin dealer in the country ran out of any silver to sell. So while they were smashing the silver market and the futures market and the derivative markets and the paper markets, the real market for silver, people were just rushing in to buy everything available. And here we are, what, 3 months later, and you still have shortages across the board in most of the items.
Now, is the shortages holding up? You know, can you actually readily get the silver eagles from the mint? Are they readily available now?
I have been able to get them for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And yesterday morning, I called my dealer that I buy most of my stuff through, and I said, "How are y'all situated with silver eagles?" And he said, "We've got a big shipment coming in." I said, "Well, that doesn't mean anything. How many of them are already spoken for?" And he kind of said, "Well, all of them." So they'll have to place an order. And he says, "We don't know how many we'll get this time." It is obvious and it is certain that the U.S. Mint is now starting to ration them. So what I believe is going to happen as silver comes out of this little correction phase, which is that's all this is, and the demand for those continues to accelerate to the upside, you're going to see the mint finally come out and say, "Look, we're only going to make so many per month, and that's it, folks." And once they do that, that's when I predict that the silver eagles will start to go to a major premium, because people are always the same. You tell them they can't have something, they'll pay whatever they have to get it. Secondly, I think that will remind people of the true shortage of silver, so then you'll see more and more people wanting to jump on the silver bandwagon. I think you're going to see people that own gold say, "You know, I'm missing out on a bet. Maybe I better trade a little bit of my gold to get into silver." And then I always point out to people that if just 1% of the money in gold tried to move into the silver market, that would be an increase of 300% in the value of the silver market. So, you know, I see, you know, we're just having the lull before the storm. And I think that storm could kick back into gear within the next 2 weeks to a month, or, you know, 2 months at the max.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly think it can, too. It's simply a matter of when it's going to occur. I think it's not a matter of if, but when. And, of course, they are doing everything they can to manipulate the price of silver down. They've been doing the same thing with commodities of all sorts. They manipulated the copper market for years so that the people in the third world countries that were producing copper would be kept, of course, perennially impoverished. And this is the way the game is really played. And, of course, when you have lots of money and, of course, you have the government behind you and you can violate the laws, you can manipulate the commodity markets. And it's no longer a matter of supply and demand. It is simply what they will pay, the amount of money that they have to pay to get the copper out of the ground, but really cut back on the profit of the copper companies. And, of course, those who have invested in this will be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just talking about how the commodity market is actually manipulated. And as they manipulated copper, I believe they're manipulating both gold and silver at the present time. But there's nothing you can do about it. It's a violation of the law. But who are you going to complain to? The government that is going right along with the commodity manipulators, because they're all controlled by the same people? So basically, you're going to have to just watch and wait and be patient, because sooner or later, they're going to lose control of these markets. And when that happens, why, of course, the sky's the limit. Would you agree, Ron?
Absolutely. In fact, I've mentioned two things that just came up this week. Jeffrey Christian, who's the head of the CPM group, which is the organization that comes out with the silver report every year. They come out with a report on how much silver was produced and by which countries and the demand and so forth. And he just came out with a statement which was mind-boggling, because he said for every ounce of deliverable physical silver, there is 100 ounces of derivative silver. In other words, 100 ounces of paper silver for every ounce of real silver.
And, of course, there's nothing behind the paper silver. And
exactly.
That's why they're taking delivery on the silver. Why, of course, this would just simply sink the derivative market there.
Right. And now, the other thing that I want to mention is most people that listen now have probably heard of the silver ETF that was created back in, I think, early 2006. And if you remember, Dr. Stan, I was saying all along I thought that would end up being a scam. This is just my opinion. I don't have any proof to really prove what I'm saying. But to me, it made sense. They were having tremendous debates before they approved that thing at the Securities Exchange Commission. It would have been obvious to anyone that studies the silver market that there's no way that they could find enough silver to fund a program like that. Because the problem with silver has always been that it's so bulky. If you're trying to invest many dollars in it, you're getting too much weight, and most people don't want to store something that valuable in their house, and most people that really wanted to buy silver didn't want to store it in a bank and pay the fees and the storage fees and so forth. So it should have been, in my opinion, obvious to anyone that there's not enough silver to ever fulfill those type of contracts. So my thought all along was that the SLV and these other ETFs would simply be a new vehicle they could use to manipulate the price of silver. Now, in a little over 2 years since that program was instituted, investors have bought supposedly 195 million ounces of silver. And I would ask anyone, how many people really believe that much silver is being stored? Now, what makes it even worse is it just came out this last week that they're now using SLV, or the shares in SLV, which is like a mutual fund where you actually buy shares, and each share represents 10 ounces of silver. Well, it now comes out that they're naked shorting the SLV shares. In other words, they're selling shares that don't exist to drive the price of silver down. So what I was suspecting 2-3 years ago is, I think, starting to come to pass, and that is they're just going to use these ETFs as a way to help manipulate the price of the commodities. Because, see, they have ETFs for gold and for copper and for silver and et cetera. And all it is paper in most cases.
Well, I think that one of these days, hopefully, they are going to lose control. And the law of supply and demand will come in. When it does, hang on to your hats. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You have a question for Ron already about what's happening financially, but certainly we see real problems with the housing market. We see real problems with the building market. We see real problems with the financial markets, and certainly most of our major banks and major financial institutions are having massive layoffs. We find real problems with the automotive industry, and of course certainly General Motors loses money on literally every car that they produce here in the United States. They're only making money because they're one of the major producers over in communist China. But a Ford Motor Company has made a little bit of money this last year, but nowhere enough to make up for the massive losses they've had in the past. And even Toyota, although they're making money, is cutting back on their production here in the United States because people are not investing in new cars. There's a feeling of uncertainty across our nation. Everybody knows something is wrong. And, of course, if you look at the surveys of consumer confidence, they all show that more and more people have this uneasy feeling that things have changed. They've changed dramatically. And I really believe that's true. Certainly, what are you hearing from your customers, Ron? Are people out there sensing that something dramatic has changed in America?
Oh, yeah. And of course, the people I deal with basically are the people that are believers like you and me, so I'm not talking to the masses out there, although I will say this.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Ron Brown, and Ron was just going to tell me a little bit about what the people he talks to tell him about their feelings and the sense of what's going on in our country today financially. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, anyone that's been a conservative for the last 20 or 30 years trying to educate their friends and neighbors and people to help join the fight to save our country have been frustrated because most people don't want to hear about it, and they just, you know, you get the reputation of being like that. They kind of walk on the other side of the street when they see you coming, you know. But what I find really interesting is that over the last 3-4 months, I would guess close to 40 or 50% of my clients are new people who've never bought before. Either they heard me and you talking on the air and then they call, or in a lot of cases, and this is really interesting, people will call and say, you know, your client John or Bob been trying to tell me to buy gold and silver for the last 6, 7, 8 years, or 10 years in some cases, and they're now just getting around to starting to believe it, see. So I'm starting to see people who've never thought about this before, who tried to put it out of their mind, are starting to finally, it's becoming so obvious, how can you hide from it anymore?
Well, you know, I really think it's important that people begin to understand what's going on. And we need to tell other people, because the best thing you can do is to help them survive the difficult times that lie ahead. And the people, I had a friend of mine whose grandmother was in Germany, you know, during the Weimar Republic, and she was a very wealthy woman. She had 1,000,000 marks. And, of course, initially the mark was equal to a dollar. And she kept it all in her mattress because she didn't trust banks. And, of course, came the inflation, and suddenly, why, of course, you took a wheelbarrow full of money to buy anything at the stores. And, of course, you know what happened to the value of her money. And a woman who was comfortably fixed, who was, of course, considered a very wealthy woman in Germany, was wiped out by the inflation that comes about with an irresponsible government and fiat money. And, of course, even George Bernard Shaw, a scoundrel that he was, basically said that he'd far rather put his faith into a gold-backed currency than any currency that was created by men. And this is the problem, that, of course, when men get into trouble with the currency, instead of backtracking and trying to get back to a solid-backed currency, what do? Why, they print more money, which temporarily solves the problem, but only temporarily, and then they've got to print more money. And more money, and pretty soon you end up like they are in Zimbabwe today, where they're printing $500 million notes on a regular basis. And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. Ron, of course, I want you to get out your telephone number. I want you to get out your where people can get more information from you. And incidentally, our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, Ron.
My telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. Anyone that's interested, just feel free to call me. I take great pleasure in talking with new people, and if you have any questions, just feel free to call me. I have a package of information I can put in the mail to you, and I'll stay in touch with you as long as you want to stay in touch about the market. So just feel free to call me anytime.
And one thing about it, Ron is not a high-pressure salesman at all. And I've been very, very pleased dealing with it myself personally in the past. Well, somebody called in and said, what type of gold and silver should the average individual buy? What would you say, coins, bullion, shares? What should people do, and how should they, of course, invest their life savings? Because this is such an important question. I mean, people, you know, if they're going to survive what lies ahead, you know, are going to make their move, and they're going to have to make it now.
Well, their core position should be equally balanced, maybe a little more in favor of silver. And the silver, I would start with what we call the I hate to use the word junk coins, but the old pre-1965 dimes, quarters, and halves that were our legal tender, you know, coins in circulation until 64, or at least 65. You can buy those by the bag. A bag is $1,000 face value, which today would run about $12,000, but you don't have to buy a full bag. You can buy a quarter bag or whatever. Secondly, in the gold, I would say start with small gold coins. My favorite is the little 1/10-ounce gold eagle. Just to give you a real quick story on that, back in 1999 when Y2K was coming around the corner, the first 2 weeks of January, the little 1/10-ounce coins went from $32 my cost to $49 my cost, simply because people realized they needed to get ready for Y2K, and if we had the banking crisis everyone was fearful of, then they better get their coins in a small increment that they could use for barter and trade, and there just wasn't enough 1/10 ounces to go around, so they just went dramatically up in premium in a matter of 2 weeks. So that can happen to both the dimes, quarters, and halves, and the 10-ounce gold. But that's where I would start.
All right, fine. And so the and you get the junk silver, you get the 1/10 of an ounce of gold coins. All right, fine. And then, of course, what about gold shares? Do you have any recommendations on that?
Yes, you know, that should be more of the speculative part of your portfolio, but it's all part of the diversification. Because in the environment we're going into, no one can promise that they won't try to call in or confiscate gold and silver, similar to what they maybe did in 1933. So you can't put everything in the gold. And the gold and silver shares typically give you what's called a leverage play on the price of gold or silver. So if gold were to go up 100%, a lot of the gold shares might go up 400%. Because their profits go up so much faster. So, yeah, I would have some, there's two types of gold shares and silver shares to get into. One would be what we call the producers, the blue chips, and that would be, just to mention a few names, Agnico Eagle or Gold Corp or Yamana Gold. Some of those would be good companies to look at. And they're going to do well for you. If you want to make the real killing, though, then you have to find some of the juniors, and those are the exploration companies. And I won't mention any of those on the air, but those are the type, the small companies that go out and find a new property and develop it, and then the big boys come along and do a buyout, and they may bid the price up 10 or 20 fold. So that's where you would make the real killing as a speculation, but that certainly isn't where you want to put the majority of your investment money.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have a question for Ron. Sydney is on the front lines of this battle and dealing with people all the time who are concerned about finances. And if you're not concerned about finances, now, believe me, you're going to be before this whole incredible scam is over. And of course, the same thing happened in Florence, you know, back in the 1600s, when of course the Medici's lost control, but they made their money out of banking, and they did it with this paper money system. And they, I mean, if you've ever been to Florence, it's a beautiful, beautiful city, but it was all built with, of course, this paper money. And of course, eventually the whole system collapsed, and the same thing had happened in Venice, you know, years earlier. And there's nothing new under the sun. Every fiat money system in the world has always collapsed, and we were never to have had a fiat money system here. When the Federal Reserve was brought in, it was to be, we were to have a direct relationship between gold and currency. And it wasn't until FDR, you know, in the height of the Depression, or the low point of the Depression, when which had been created by the Federal Reserve System intentionally, it wasn't until they'd created this awful problem that FDR called in the gold. But even then we had a gold-backed currency. And it existed until the Vietnam War, and of course the inflation that came with that. And it was then on the 15th of August 1971, when Richard Nixon closed the gold window and took the whole world off of a gold-backed currency system and set off this wave of course of worldwide inflation. Now, certainly by 1980, we had inflation that was just out of control. It was running 16-17%. Paul Volcker had to come in, raise the interest rates to 21% or a little bit higher to stop the inflation, to try to preserve the American dollar. Paul Volcker did what was right and what should have been done. The problem is, of course, we've got inflation that's far more rampant than Richard Nixon ever faced, but they're lying to us about the degree of inflation, and they don't dare do what Paul Volcker did, because ordinarily, of course, when you have inflation, you have, you know, a booming economy. You've got everybody's employed, wages are going up, prices are going up. Here, of course, we have a sagging economy. We have a situation where certainly wages are not going up rapidly. We have a situation where the housing bubble has collapsed and where the stock market bubble has collapsed. And instead of things going through the ceiling with inflation, we're having inflation without that. And no matter what the Federal Reserve System does, if it lowers the interest rates to try to stimulate the economy and get our economy going, why, of course, they'll destroy the value of the dollar. If they raise the interest rates to try to preserve the dollar, they'll destroy what economy we have. And so there is no way really out of this problem we're in today. Would you agree with that, Ron?
Absolutely. In fact, in 1980, at the peak of the inflationary blow-off, when gold hit 870, silver hit $52 an ounce, our total national debt at that point was something like $800 billion. We had not approached $1 trillion at that point. So here we are today, and the government admits to what, it must be close to $11 trillion today.
No, it's about 9.6 trillion at the time, right?
But, you know, in reality, that's the tip of the iceberg, because they've created all these GSEs, these government-sponsored entities. Is there any doubt in your mind, Dr. Stan, that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are really nothing more than government arms of the government, and they created trillions of dollars too? So they create money in so many different ways that doesn't show up on our books, that in reality the debt structure today is gigantically larger than it was back in 1980. So you could not, they could not do today, as you were saying, what they did back in 1980. With the debt structure we have today, if you ever tried to raise interest rates, the economy would implode overnight, and this, everyone would start to default on these massive debts, and the whole thing would just go down a black hole in a matter of months. So they had no choice but to keep the printing press rolling. As Richard Russell has said for 10, 15, 20 years, the federal government has no choice but to inflate or die, and that's really the predicament, unfortunately, that we're in.
Well, what Richard Russell say is going to happen? Last time I read anything that he'd written, he seemed to think that the stock market was going to hold up for a time.
Yeah, you know, he's one of the chartists. And so if the markets act in a certain way, then he will, say that it might be in a correction phase in a bear market. We might have it go up a little bit longer. But he's never said, I don't believe, I haven't read him in the last few months, that we have turn the corner and we're out of the recession and then we're now going into a new bull market. I think all he's really saying is that we're in a correction phase, and that the powers to be are going to prop up the market, and therefore it, and he doesn't try to look at the geopolitics of things. He just simply looks at the charts. And that's, of course, the problem I have with a lot of the technicians. They leave out common sense and geopolitical and fundamentals, and they just look at the charts, and if you've got a manipulated market, then the charts can certainly deceive you, because they don't reflect what's really going on in the world.
Well, of course, one of the more interesting newsletters that I read from time to time is the Wellington Letter. It really does a pretty good job. And, of course, there about two or three weeks ago, they just said get out of everything in the stock market. And, of course, I think that at least so far, their advice has been pretty good. But the difficulty is that as we look at things from a geopolitical point of view, and you can't look at things unless you look at it geopolitically. We got an election coming up in November. And I don't believe that the powers that be really want to get Obama elected. Now, maybe they do, and maybe I'm mistaken, but I rather think they'd rather have McCain in there. And of course, we will know what they want by what's happening to the economy by November. They could very easily get the economy going, at least temporarily, between now and November, and that would be good for McCain. If the economy is terrible in November, why, it'll be, well, I remember how Bill Clinton got in with that slogan, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid, and there's no way to divorce John McCain from George Bush. And if the economy is terrible in November, why, we're going to have Hussein Barack Obama, or Barack Hussein Obama is the next president of the United States. I would anticipate, though, that they would try, and this is only speculation on my part, I would speculate that they are going to try to get the economy moving before November. That is, if they want John McCain to be the president, they can create euphoria on our part, or they can create depression on our part. And because, of course, when the market's going up, we feel good. When the market's going down, we feel terrible. And so I think it's important that people understand that we are manipulated. It has nothing to do with reality. It's all a matter of perception. And they can create our perception. They can form our tastes. They can mold our views. And it's done by men we have never even heard of. Well, Sidney, what do you think is going to happen between now and November?
You know, in my opinion, Dr. Stan, if they wanted McCain in, I agree with you about the economy, that they'll try to prop up the economy if they want McCain in. But I would also think, from everything I've been reading, that if they ever wanted to, there is so many skeletons in Obama's closet that they would just feed that to the media and it would all come out and it would just paint him for what he really is. And then that could switch the election, you know, to McCain very easily. So it'll be interesting to see how the press handles it, too.
I think that's absolutely right. And, of course, traditionally, why, of course, the party in power always likes to have things in good shape before the elections. And, of course, if you read Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, even though he won't necessarily admit that he was making his decisions based upon what was good for the party in power, why, of course, he did. And, of course, when the Democrats were in, they asked him to stay on. When the Republicans were in, they asked him to stay on. And Alan Greenspan there was there for 18 years, manipulating our economy to bring about this terrible economic collapse we're having now. And the question is, why would an intelligent man do that? And, of course, I believe this. The financial collapse we're witnessing today in the housing market was planned. They knew exactly what they're doing. It's almost as if they're following a script, bring us to the point we are economically at this time in history. Well, our number once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Ron, certainly about what's happening economically. And certainly, they've really shut down the building here tremendously across the country. I suppose in some areas they're finishing up the previous projects that they were doing, condominium projects or certainly shopping centers. But I don't think they're doing building many more of them, do you?
Not really. In fact, I have a client down in New Mexico who's a truck driver, and sometimes they can give you a better idea of what's going on in the economy than anyone else. And a couple months ago, he told me on two or three different occasions, he was heading for a building site with a load of materials, and he got a call from his main office saying, turn around and come back. They can't take it. They can't pay for it. So I think what you're seeing is a lot of people are just running out of money to even finish the projects they started.
And
no, that's true. And down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I've got a real good friend down there who's in the mortgage business, and he said some of these big subdivisions that they were coming in and just building house after house after house, they just left them two-thirds of the way finished, you know, and they haven't talked to him in a couple months, so I don't know if they ever got them back going. But it gives you an idea of how things are really starting to get squeezed all over the country.
And I think you're absolutely right. We've got too many houses out there, and now, of course, what's happening, of course, is that we're beginning to see tent cities spring up across America. There was one down in Southern California there, and I think in Orange County. And these are people who've been forced out of their homes, but they never should have bought a home in the first place. They did not qualify for it. They couldn't make the payments. They couldn't make a $3,000 a month payment when the adjustable rate mortgage adjusted. And, of course, these people lost everything they'd put in and everything they'd invested. So, basically, I think we're going to see an awful lot of people having an awful lot more problems. There's some people who say the unemployment rate in America is about 14% at the present time. The real unemployment rate, the government is not telling us the truth about unemployment. The government is not telling us the truth about inflation. The government is not telling us the truth about what they intend to do as far as the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States and merging us into, first of all, this union with Mexico to raise the living standards of the average American worker to that of the Mexican peasant. And, of course, the last thing they want, of course, for the American people to understand, that both political parties are controlled by the same people. Their goal, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Ron Brown has been our guest. Ron, once again, your telephone number?
1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Ron, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, Doctor, just as you were asking me what I felt was happening out there with the public and the attitude towards gold and silver, I'll just quote from an article written by John Rubino, who's been a longtime financial analyst, and he's quoting that his new friend, a fellow by the name of Shane McGuire, is director of global research at Texas' $115 billion teacher retirement system, which means he oversees a vast portfolio of high-grade bonds, blue-chip stocks, and cash. Not the kind of environment that would usually be interested in gold. Yet he recently published a book, a very good book, titled Buy Gold Now, in which he explains his belief that the dollar, U.S. bonds, and many stocks are headed south while gold is going to the moon. And so when you start to see establishment people like that start getting fearful of what's happening in the financial system, and you realize that the financial system is nothing but a confidence game, when people like that lose confidence in the system, then the system is not long. So we're heading towards some crisis. Who can predict exactly when it'll happen, but I think it's a lot sooner than later. So I don't think it's something we're going to have to worry about our grandchildren worried about. I think it's us and our children.
I think that we're in for some very, very difficult times. Of course, you're not going to get this from CNN. You're not going to get it from CNBC and, of course, the other establishment outlets that are trying to keep you placid and just sort of going along with the system. Everything's going to be all right. Little downturn. Goldman Sachs came out a couple of days ago and just said, oh, we think we're at the bottom of the stock market. Things are going to begin turning around. You know, this is the time to keep buying, you know. You know, the dollar averaging, that's how you get ahead, that's how you get wealthy, and I don't think, of course, what you're going to do is you're going to buy stocks with money, and the value of that money is going to go down, the value of the stock may double, but you're going to have to pay capital gains tax on that, but the dollar that you put in there may be only worth 5 cents by the time you actually get it out, because as the rate of inflation increases, and it is increasing, why, of course, this spells the end of the financial system that we have known.
Can I make one last point, Dr. Stan?
Right ahead.
You know, the frustrating thing about this whole thing, I'm sure for you and all of us who've been fighting to get our country back, the very people who have created the crisis will use that crisis for their own agenda, and their agenda is to bankrupt America, merges, as you mentioned earlier, with Mexico, Canada, and the U.S.
Hold that thought for just a moment here, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron was saying that he believes this real agenda of the people in really running the things is to bankrupt America and then merges with Mexico and Canada. Go ahead and finish your thought, Ron.
In the process of doing that, we lose this thing we call a constitutional republic, that government of law that limits the power of people, and we're ruled by law instead of people. And that is the government that has created the greatest prosperity and freedom in the history of the world. Yet as this comes down, not one in 100 even realize it's happening to them. So it gets a little frustrating. But since the whole purpose of the collapse is to write off the debt of the bankrupt system, it should be logical to everyone that you want to get out of the paper dollars that are being repudiated.
Amen to that. I think that's an excellent analysis. Ron Brown, thanks very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was Ron Brown, certainly. I always enjoy listening to him, and I hope you do as well. Now, of course, this is the time I want to tell you, I think we're in for some very difficult conditions ahead. Have you thought about what you would do if there was suddenly a chaotic situation, a nuclear, biological, or chemical attack in our country? Well, certainly what you need to do is get the DVD, Sheltering in Place. How do you prepare your home in case there is a catastrophe of some sort? You don't want to be out in the highway, you know, right there bumper to bumper with a million other people trying to go no place because nobody knows where to go. You need to be able to stay in your home and your home, prepare your home for difficult times. So the DVD, Sheltering in Place, is very important. The four tapes that we have on civilian defense is important. We have a book called Nuclear War Survival Skills, which we think is important. We have a little carton, if you want. Of course, it's a little kit that you can make a radiation meter out of it. It's inexpensive, but you have to have the book, Nuclear War Survival Skills, to learn how to actually make this, and they do work. They're a lot less expensive than these big fancy yellow meters that they have. And then we have a book called Making the Best Basics, and it simply goes into how you survive if you don't have all the amenities we do. Now, how did your grandparents survive? And, of course, how did they prepare the food and the various things that they were going to have, the various staples and the wheat? And, well, Chris, Making the Best of Basics is a great book. We carried it for Y2K. My wife had actually had it even long before Y2K, and we think it's something that every family should have, just so that you know what to do. Now, if you don't have a supply of emergency food and you'd like to know more about that, you call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and we'll certainly get you an emergency food catalog. Have you laid in a supply of vitamins and minerals? Because believe me, you need them to be healthy, and they're doing everything they can to make it extremely difficult. They want to actually outlaw vitamins and minerals and things like that, so you're going to have a prescription to get them. But if we were to have an emergency, you wouldn't have ready access to the health food stores that you do now. And under any circumstances, if you'd like a copy of the health catalog, and basically contains most of the things that Barbara and I take on a regular basis. And I'm 79. I'm pretty going pretty strong. And well, I won't tell you how old my wife is, but I'll tell you she looks awful good and awfully healthy. And very, very few people realize that she's her age. So if you'd like to get the health food catalog, we'll be glad to get that for you. And just a regular catalog. If you want to know, of course, what pretty happened to Martin Luther King, we've got a great four-tape set, The Execution of Martin Luther King, and it comes with a book called An Act of State, and of course tells you what was found at the trial that the Martin Luther King's family put on, four-month trial, when the jury found the people responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King was our very own Central Intelligence Agency, and not a word in the controlled media. If you want to know what happened at Waco, we have a great DVD. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. We also have a Waco, The Rules of Engagement, and the FLIR tape. And you need to have the information. You need to understand that they killed those children. And who did it? The Special Forces. And what happened to them? Well, they were sent over to Somalia. And you remember the story of Black Hawk Down? They were the fellows who got wiped out, Black Hawk Down.
you're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.